Welcome to Character Explorations, a podcast production of the Wendt Center for Character Education at the University of Dubuque. I'm Annalee Ward, the director of the Wendt Center. Our guest today is Andrew Jones, Associate Professor of English and Creative Writing. He's the author of the article, Localized Character, Building Community and Modeling Authenticity and Integrity. And this article is available online at dbq.edu/Wendt. W-E-N-D-T. Welcome, Andrew. As we think about this issue of the journal, character and places of home, the first question I'd like to ask is what regions of the country or places have you called home that have shaped you and caused you to write about this, what you call consumer globalization?
So I've lived, kind of bounced back and forth a few times. So I grew up in the Bay Area of California, went off to grad school in Minnesota, got married in Fargo, North Dakota, then moved back west to Eugene, Oregon, then to Dubuque, then back to California, and then back to Dubuque. So kind of a horizontal move there every time, but definitely different vibes in each place and different speeds and, you know, size of the place has also played a factor in feeling like it's home or that it's a place where you can be involved in a larger sense of a community.
Well, early on, you write about, you say that we're losing the soul of our homes. What do you mean by that?
So one of the things that was surprising to me moving from a major metropolitan area to a smaller place in Minnesota was that when I got there, there was so much that was the same, but it wasn't unique. It was the same restaurant, the same chain, the same store. And so I wondered where's that unique sense of being in a different place if everywhere I go it's the same thing. And that's kind of carried over into most of the moves. In that sense of a large consumer center on the edge of town that's newer and everyone goes there and then the housing moves there. And so you start to move away from that kind of heart and soul of the city as it was first maybe conceptualized.
You mentioned the big box stores and how they move in and then sometimes move out of the community. What do you see happening to a community with them coming in and with them leaving?
Yeah, so in the process of writing the article, a lot of the research was talking about how they have particular leases or agreements with a city and they can develop this space, but then they might not, if they move, they might not allow another business in there for a certain number of years. So the buildings end up sitting abandoned. And instead of being replaced by maybe a local business or organization, they sit abandoned and another big building is built for another, you know, global corporation instead. So it's almost like you're leaving this trail of waste behind every time one comes in and then, you know, ships out within a few years or restructures or remodels and wants something in a newer area.
Yeah, thanks. I can see where that's a real problem of abandonment and of affecting the soul of our home. Mm-hmm. One of the books that we read together was Beyond Homelessness by Predegar, Bauma, and Walsh. And they write about the possibility of shaping virtue by, quote, drinking in certain narratives in particular communities. How does an emphasis on local consumption contribute to virtue?
Yeah, so I think that idea of narrative, right, of knowing the story of a place, of a business, how the community has responded to a business or even the owners of that business, creates a sense of belonging and connection that a corporate, you know, boardroom trying to create that sort of story might not have, where even with a building, let's say, you know, in our case, downtown in Dubuque, you might have a small company in a building, and within that company, they might have photographs of what that building used to be, right? Whether it was a small family-owned grocery store and now it's a bookstore or a restaurant or whatever it is, there's that sense of we want to continue to hold on to our narrative of how we became what we are and how we might continue to remember where we came from or how we might use that as a way to get back to something that is no longer there. So that power of moving through narrative both forward and backwards if you need to.
And that would really contribute then to building a sense of community, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Knowing the people who have inhabited these places, who have had these conversations, who have made decisions, who have, you know, tried to guide each other or have made it through varying circumstances. And I think it's really relevant considering what we've been through in the last couple of years and that connection to local businesses during COVID even, and how oftentimes those were the places that people were trying to support or trying to keep in mind or really reaching out to build a connection to during a time of isolation.
Yeah, we've really felt that emphasis on keep our local businesses alive, keep them alive. Mm-hmm. Well, another line of your writing relates communal spaces to moral formation, which I think is a pretty fascinating turn. And what do you mean by how can a business play a role in moral formation?
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, I talked about in the article is bookstores and bringing in writers or bringing in panelists to have a conversation and talk about difficult topics or maybe, deep topics and topics that might make people uncomfortable. And we don't get that necessarily in, say, a large chain bookstore where it's here's the latest bestseller that you have to focus on or market. So it gives, in some ways, it gives that place can provide a space to discuss topics that can lead to moral formation or character formation. And it invites people into those spaces in a way that's not necessarily built on, oh, you have to come in and buy something, right? That it's a shared space that we can tailor it to what the community is wanting to experience or talk about or engage with.
Right. And the local business has that freedom to make those decisions, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. That somebody comes in and says, I'd like to hear a conversation about this. You know, I'm unfamiliar with it. Would you be okay setting that up? Right. And so, yeah, let me think about who in the community might be able to contribute to that. And now, instead of bringing in a bunch of people from outside or people who maybe are all on the same page, you've got a pretty diverse group of participants in that sort of conversation.
Have you had many experiences with that kind of a place?
Yeah, I think I tend to gravitate towards those smaller bookstores. You know, in Dubuque, we've got River Lights, which does things like that. And in Fargo, when I lived there, there was a variety store, I guess you would call it, called Zanbro's, which also did that sort of stuff, which would bring in writers. And they had a back room with a coffee shop where people would meet and talk and discuss stuff. And then even, again, thinking about the last couple of years, for writers in particular, local bookstores were a great venue to help them share their work during COVID because they were hosting online readings, they were hosting online panels, they were hosting these discussions that were free to the public. And so you could tune in at a small bookstore in Colorado for this conversation that even during COVID again, you wouldn't have otherwise been able to have quite so easily. And I think they were really key in keeping that sort of event going where people could have those conversations.
Thanks. Well, Another related thread that you wove in here was talking about businesses as models for authenticity, which I think is what you're talking about mm-hmm. here, and integrity. And I'm wondering if you wanted to say anything more about authenticity and integrity.
So again, I think going back to some of that prepackaged material that larger corporations might disperse, those local businesses have the ability to respond to individual customers in an authentic manner, again, where instead of, oh, we need to make sure that this is following the company line or that this is our new campaign, it's let's explore what you're bringing into these stores as well as what we're putting out there. So they can tailor something that is a little bit more authentic to what they're representing or what they're maybe embracing, or I don't really want to say promoting because that still sounds more like a corporate term. But if the community is engaging with an issue of diversity, let's say, the local business can support that through their displays or through a kind of curated approach to what they have in the business.
Well, another example that you mentioned is the independent record store. What? I thought we lived in the world of digital music.
Not anymore. The LP is back in charge. And the local record store in that regard too is really good at promoting local artists, right? And giving them a venue to either, you know, showcase a couple songs in the stacks of records, or putting them up on display in a, you know, next to a million selling, you know, artist, and giving them that space that otherwise they wouldn't be able to buy into, right? They're making 100 copies of their record. Can you go sell this at, I don't even know what the big name record stores are at this point, but
I didn't think there were any.
There might not be. I think it's just all digital.
Yeah.
So it's that physical sense though too, where, you know, you can go in and you pick something up and you feel it, you hold it in your hands, you flip it over and look at the back cover and see what's there. And so many of them now have these special inserts, right? Or it's inside, there's a limited edition, this or that. And so those independent record stores are really good at promoting those small label, small venue artists and giving them a chance to be found.
Well, for those who are more digitally inclined and the local record store might not be something that they go into, you've offered us another example in the form of a farmer's market. And one of the things that you said just really surprised me. It said, the local farmer's market has the potential to counter forces of self-deception. And I found that intriguing. What do you have? Please tell me. Farmer's market and self-deception?
Yeah, I think a lot of us, and I'm probably just as guilty as anyone, have this perception that if we go to, you know, the local grocery store, we go to some place and we buy, oh, we're going to buy the organic version of something, or we're going to buy the more sustainable version. And we're not thinking really about all of the packaging that's gone into it, all of the transportation that's gone into it, all of the fuel being used to send it across the country, or even the fact that maybe it's being produced in a region and we're abusing that region's resources just to bring it so that we can have it in the middle of winter in Dubuque, Iowa, when we wouldn't be able to get it here, right? And so we tell ourselves we're doing the right thing or making the right choice by picking this sustainable option instead of using what's being grown right in our region or is being grown with the seasons. And so if we go down there and we're talking to the local producers who are bringing their goods, instead of maybe getting upset because we can't find something on the store of or on the shelf at the store, we can have a conversation and say, you know, why don't you have this week? Well, I'm dealing with this environmental issue, right, where it hasn't rained in 2 months, and so I can't grow that, or that crop failed. We're seeing how it's impacting us on a local level rather than just kind of living in our self-deceived world of, oh, I'm doing the right thing, but not considering, you know, what's happening around us.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you've argued that supporting local businesses encourages those businesses to model virtue. Any last words on how that happens? I mean, you've touched on it, certainly.
Yeah, I think just being responsive to the consumer, because we're going to be coming back, right? We want to be coming back. We want to help them thrive and be a part of our community and be something that we can, you know, in 10 years, we're not saying, hey, remember that place that used to be there? It's such a shame that it's not there anymore. We want to be instead saying we helped make it through, you know, this tough time, or we helped shift them in this direction, or they helped shift us in a different direction, right? That it exposed us to a different type of, let's say, cuisine that we never would have had otherwise, or someone recommended a book to us, and then we recommended that book to somebody else, and so on and so forth. So I think just that give and take, that we're not only on one side of the exchange of ideas or goods, but rather it's always going back and forth.
It really builds a sense of neighborliness, of care for one another.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for this reminder and challenge that we as consumers can positively impact the communities we live in by supporting these local entrepreneurs, local businesses, and we can watch these businesses in turn model good character for the community. Our guest today has been Andrew Jones, Associate Professor of English and Creative Writing, and I'm Annalee Ward for Character Explorations from the Wentz Center for Character Education at the University of Dubuque.